Dear Abba Father, you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. We will sing praise to you as long as we live. We thank you that you have sent your Son to be the Lamb of God and started a ministry of restoration among the broken ones like us, so that we can live and be reconciled to you, and one day we know we will be fully restored. We thank you that you have put this church, RCCC, in the Somerset County. And we pray that, Lord, you will use us as your vessels of love and truth. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us many resources, talents, and gifts. And Lord, we pray that we would not use this selfishly, but we will use this to serve you and to serve those in need. Today we remember the Sydney High Group, who is out at the Libanzale Retreat Center. Even though they have been going through a very cold weekend, Lord, I pray that their hearts are warm because of the fellowship with you and the fellowship with the fellow brothers and sisters. I pray for our brother Simon, that will be delivering the Sunday message this morning to the senior high students. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you help the message to connect to the young generation so that they know that you are the true and faithful God that will transform them, transform this generation so that they can proclaim your wonderful works among them to all the nations and to neighbors in this community. Lord, I also pray for those who have been sent out, who have been called by you to the least reachable areas. And Lord, I pray that you will help the co-workers there to have unity, and pray that you will create opportunities for them to reach those in the mission field. Lord, we pray for one day that all nations, all tribes will come to worship you. And we want to continue to proclaim your wonderful works among all the nations. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Please remain standing as we read our scripture today, Mark chapter 7, 31 to 37. Can we bring up the passage? Thank you. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, and that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. So, dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is Broken and Restored. Broken and Restored. Have you ever had anything broken in your house? Sometimes it's just annoying. Once we had quite a few families that came to our house on a very hot summer day. But the air conditioning unit stopped working. And people started sweating, even after I opened the windows, because it was a very hot summer day. And it became quite uncomfortable in the house. And that time I wished that I had an AC repairman standing right by us. So that would help me fix the problem right away. And so that everybody would feel the cool breeze from the AC unit again. This kind of brokenness caused only some inconvenience. But it was annoying. But it was not devastating. But what if one of your body parts is broken and stop functioning completely? Around 1801, the famous German composer Beethoven, he began to sense a loss of his hearing. And the situation got worse in the following years. I'd like you to imagine being a musician and without hearing. A musician that could not hear the music he created. Such brokenness led Beethoven into depression and even suicidal thoughts. But it was during this period of struggles he accomplished some of the most famous symphonies we have ever heard, including the famous Fifth Symphony. Now, what if your spouse or children suddenly became seriously ill, either physically or mentally? What if you, as a new parent, find out that your newborn child was diagnosed with severe disabilities? How do you comfort those who were deeply saddened by the brokenness of their dreams because of such unexpected interrupts in their otherwise normal life? These are very tough life questions. And how do we find the answers to provide comfort to those who are going through the trials right now? Based on today's passage, I have 3 points I would like to share. The first point is, Jesus restored those with physical disabilities through his compassion and divine authority. Remember, this passage is about the fact that Jesus heals a deaf and a mute man. So this passage, I want to bring out the first point. Jesus restored those with physical disabilities through his compassion and divine authority. We saw that in this passage, Jesus was going through a territory of the Gentiles. This place, Decapolis, it means 10 cities. These cities are mostly on the eastern side of the Jordan River. It was the center of Roman and Greek culture with many foreigners within the previously Israel territory. There, Jesus encountered a deaf person with speech impediment. He could not hear and he could not speak. The deaf and mute person in this passage probably suffered from this for a long time in his life. And his compassionate friends brought him to Jesus for his healing. This is very similar to the way of those friends of the paralytic in Mark chapter 2 that lowered him from the roof opening to Jesus, also for his healing. Now in this passage, we're going to see that Jesus took 6 actions to heal this person. In this healing process, he did 6 things. Through these 6 actions, we're going to see his personal touch before his divine healing. First, the personal touch. Jesus took him aside from the crowd privately. He had no intention to make this a public show because he wanted to make a very personal connection to this person. So the first action was he took him aside. Jesus was going to focus on him directly. Forget about the crowd. Then the things that Jesus did next were very special and very personal. He put his fingers into his ears, and after speaking, he touched his tongue. So let's give this some thoughts. Why would Jesus do that? He could simply command his ears to open and his tongue to loose. Why did he even bother with all these gestures? I don't know if you have ever been around a deaf person. How would you communicate to someone who is deaf? I want to share a story of my own family. One of my older brothers, I have 2 older brothers. One of them, Yi Song, that's his Chinese name. He was a very beautiful and healthy boy. Actually, when he was really young, people would say that he looked like a movie star. But he contracted meningitis when he was about 3 years old. And later he became deaf. Afterwards, my mom would sometimes look out the window and wondering if she did anything wrong in his life to cause such a tragedy to happen to his precious boy. My mom was not a Christian at that time, and she became a Christian when she was about 70 years old. But she struggled with that. I remember that in many occasions when people around my brother were talking, and he would stare at people, and he would try to figure out what was going on. But he couldn't. And he was frequently puzzled and frustrated. To engage him in a true conversation, you need to use the sign language. And not just any sign language, the one used in Taiwan, the Taiwanese one. So for example, to say, "I love you," you have to point to your nose, you put your right hand on your left thumb, and then you point to him again. So that means, "I love you." And if you want to say, "Jesus loves you," you do it like this. This is Jesus loves you. And actually, the Taiwanese sign language was created by a missionary so that he could reach out to the deaf. So I actually had to go to a night school to learn the sign language so I could communicate with my brother effectively. So now coming back to Jesus. When Jesus touched the deaf person's ears, he was using his body language to clearly communicate to him, this mute and deaf person, that he was about to do something about his ears and his deafness. When he spitted and touched the person's tongue, he was communicating to him that Jesus, the one through which the heavens and earth were created, according to John chapter 1, was going to do something about his muteness. So instead of being left wondering, like my brother, in many conversations, the deaf and mute person now fully understood what was going to happen to him, and he was anxiously waiting. You see, Jesus did not want to just restore the brokenness of the person's hearing or speaking. He had a compassion for him, and he wanted to make a personal connection through the touch of his ears and his tongue. You should know that being deaf and mute was a painful experience, a difficult social experience throughout the person's life. So Jesus wanted to get involved in his life and in our lives. He wants to touch where it truly hurts, physically and emotionally, and restore you right there. If you would just bring your sorrows and your struggles to him, and if you are too weak, allow your friends to bring you to him. That's also why when he cleansed the leper, he didn't just make his leprosy go away. He touched him. Because that touch was a touch of compassion. Jesus was telling the leper, I understood the rejection you have experienced throughout your life. There's no fear of rejection when you are in his love. And I want to encourage everyone who is going through suffering or trials. While sin separates us from God, suffering frequently deepens our relationship with our Lord. If you are willing to come to him, the deaf and mute person had a special privilege. Through his suffering, he had a very personal connection to Christ. So that was the compassion of Christ, his personal touch. Before he started his divine healing. So now we look at the next three actions. The three actions, Jesus took him aside, he touched his ears, and touched his tongue. What were the next three actions? These three actions were also very important. He first looked up to heaven as if he was telling everyone the source of his power and healing. And then he sighed. That sigh was divine. Why would Jesus do that? If he knew that he was going to heal that person, he knew everything was going to be okay, right? Why would he sigh? It's because once again, he saw the effect of sin that ruined the wonderful creation, the creation that was made through him. It's no Garden of Eden anymore. There's no intimate relationship between God's people and him anymore. Then the third action from Jesus was, he said a word in his mother tongue, and probably the mother tongue of the mute and deaf person and the people around him as well, in Aramaic. He said, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And the deaf and mute person's ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. So what Jesus did fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 35:5-6, it says this, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man live like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. But I want to bring your attention to actually the verse right before this passage. What is that verse? It says, your God will come and save you. In other words, the fact that Jesus could open the ears of the deaf means that He is the Savior prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 35, 5 to 6. And this is indeed divine healing. So now let's consider this word, be opened. What was open was just not the person's ears, but heaven was opened. Why? Because the blessings now can come from the heaven down through earth, through Jesus. The blessings from the heaven now came down through Jesus. So if you could turn to John chapter 1, verse 51. Jesus said to his disciples about himself this way. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What does that mean? You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He was referring to himself as the ladder in Jacob's dream, described in Genesis 28. You know that Jacob's ladder? Between the heaven and the earth. And the angels would go up and down. And that ladder, according to Jesus, is himself. He is the ladder. He is the bridge between the earth and the heavens. Your prayers go up and the blessings come down through him. He is that bridge. So that was his divine healing. Not just the ears were opened, but the heaven was opened, so the blessings could come down through Jesus. This leads us to the second point of today's sermon, and that is about spiritual deafness and muteness. The second point is Jesus restores those with broken relationships with our Father through his suffering and obedience to Father. You see, the first point was about the fact that Jesus had the compassion, he had the divine authority to heal someone who was physically ill, physically broken, but Jesus cared more about our broken relationships with our Heavenly Father because of our spiritual deafness and spiritual muteness. So the second point is, Jesus restores those with broken relationships with our Father through his suffering and his obedience to Father. Sometimes we cannot hear God's word clearly because our hearts are not tuned to him. Jesus emphasized how important it is to hear. In the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, Jesus emphasized, he who has ears, let him hear. In that parable, it was stated that whether someone will become fruitful or not totally depends on their responses after hearing God's word. Some heard the word, but the desires and worries of this world choked them. But some heard the word, they accepted it, they responded to it, and they bore fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, even Jesus' disciples had troubles hearing him out. In Mark chapter 8, when Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought he was talking about the fact that I had no bread. And Jesus was so frustrated, he said, do you not yet perceive or understand? Having eyes and do not see, are your hearts hardened? So even the disciples did not fully understand Jesus' teaching. And actually, they were not very good at sharing God's good news either. It was not until the Pentecost, after the disciples were filled with the Spirit, that Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times, started proclaiming his name and witnessing boldly. So what's the source of our spiritual deafness and muteness? It's our sinfulness. The disobedient spirit that prevents us from listening to God or following his commands. In Mark chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus asked a very cryptic question, and that puzzled a lot of people. When he was healing the paralytic, he said, "Which one is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk." So I want you to picture this. They say there's a preacher, and someone brought up a paralytic or someone crippled right here. Is it easy for the preacher to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say that, rise and walk? Now you think that if Jesus just said, your sins are forgiven, nobody would know whether it happened or not. But to get someone to stand up and walk, that's a true miracle, right? So when I first heard this verse, my natural reaction was that, of course it was much harder to ask a paralytic to rise up and walk. But according to John chapter 1, Jesus was there with God during creation, and everything was made through him. If everything was made through him, hearing a paralytic or deaf or mute is actually very easy for him. He had the authority to restore any broken physical part of your body. He has a divine power. But how about forgiving someone's sin? Was it easy for Jesus to forgive your sins? Jesus certainly has the authority to forgive sins. Why? Right? But I want you to remember that he is the Word, which means that he is the full expression of God, his thoughts and his characters. And we know that God is both love and justice. In Exodus 34:6-7, it says that the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. But, this is a big but he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. In other words, that is against his nature. So how could Jesus both forgive sins and fulfill justice? How could Jesus both forgive sins and fulfill justice? So I want to tell you a story. And this story is really especially to those seekers among us. I don't know how many among us who are still not Christians. You may be trying to figure out all this thing about the cross and Christianity. So I want to tell this story. So there was this judge in a town or country who was known for his righteousness and justice. He was always fair in all his ruling. So one day, a young man was caught stealing a bike. It was brought to his court. Unfortunately, in that country, the penalty of stealing a bike is death. The penalty of stealing a bike is death in that country. And surprisingly, the young man that was brought in to stand before the judge was his son, the son of the judge. So now I'd like to ask you, what should the judge do? Should he fulfill his righteousness and kill his son because he committed a crime? Or should he show his love to his son and release him? What would you do? What would you do if you were the judge? So this judge did something that no one else expected. He took off his robe and he came down from his seat and he took the place of his son. You see, in that country, there's another law. That is, a person who is not guilty can take the punishment of a convicted criminal so that a later one can be released. And that's what the judge did. Dear brothers and sisters, we are just like that criminal. Jesus took the beating. He was pierced. He was crushed. He was obedient to our Father to the point of death on the cross, so that our broken relationship with our Father could be restored. No, it was not easy at all to forgive someone's sin. It was not easy to our Lord, to our Father, who is both love and justice, to forgive our sins. It was free to us. It costed him dearly. We frequently say that our Lord is compassionate. You know what that word means, compassion? It means your deep awareness of the suffering of another person. But you don't stop there. It's accompanied by the wish to relieve it. In other words, you saw someone was suffering and you just don't feel pity for that person. You actually want to take action to relieve it. So Jesus was compassionate. He restored our spiritual brokenness through suffering to the point of death, to the point of giving up everything, including himself, with complete obedience to our Father. And that's why to restore our broken relationships with our Father, he didn't do that just with his divine authority. He did that with suffering and total obedience to our Father. Today is both Valentine's Day and the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is a period of 40 days to remember the suffering or the passion of Christ. May we all remember that we are his true love. And because he loved us, accepted us completely to the point of absolute sacrifice by giving himself fully, we can now begin to learn to love others, not because that we're trying to fulfill the laws to gain our credit before God, but because we're motivated by his love, so that we can love others without asking for anything in return. So now, we'll come to the third point of the sermon. And that is, Jesus' ministry of restoration gives us hope. And it points to a day when we will receive new glorious bodies and enjoy an intimate relationship with our Father. Now, I know some of us are still suffering, maybe from physical disabilities, mental illness. While Jesus healed many physically when he was on earth, he is not here physically with us today. So how do you comfort those who still suffer from physical disabilities, or those parents who still have children who are severely ill or with learning disabilities? The Bible has good news for each one of us, especially those who still suffer from these calamities. In Philippians chapter 3, 20 to 21, it says this: "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Compared to our eternal life with the Lord, our life on this earth is like a one-night stay in a bad hotel. Yeah, it's annoying, it's inconvenient, but it's very short compared to eternity. More importantly, for those who are going through suffering, do not waste it. Do not waste the trial you are going through. Cry out to God. Wrestle with Him through your prayers, just like what we see in the book of Psalms. In that process, deepen your relationship with the Lord. Now I want to come back to Beethoven. Some sources claim that Beethoven's last words were, "I shall hear in heaven." I don't know if that's true or not, whether he actually said those words. But imagine the kind of hope that would give Beethoven if he knew that he could receive a glorious body with all the broken parts restored, especially his ears, so that he could hear the heavenly music and praise and praises that are even more beautiful than his own symphony, number 9, with immense joy. Imagine the hope and joy of a parent who has a child with physical or mental disabilities, knowing that one day the child will receive a glorious new body if he or she abides in Christ. But it's not just the body. Our broken relationship with our Father will be fully restored. We will once again enjoy that intimate relationship that Adam and Eve originally had in the Garden of Eden. We'll be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we'll stand in the glorious presence of God without any fear. Revelation 21:4 tells us, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So Jesus' ministry of restoration gives us hope. He points to a day when we will reconcile with our God, we will receive new glorious bodies, we'll enjoy an intimate relationship with our Father. That restoration will be full. It will be complete for the broken creation. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for coming to this world as the Lamb of God to start your ministry of restoration. You are full of compassion and divine authority, but more importantly, you came as a suffering servant, fully obedient to our Father to the point of death, to the point of giving up yourself. We thank you for your deep, deep love. And we pray that the Spirit will also lead us to truly love others. without asking anything for return. We also pray for the brothers and sisters among us who may still be struggling with their health and emotional needs. May you comfort them and sustain them with the hope of your full and complete restoration. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.